May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I love about the gospel stories of Jesus is that they are not sanitised. They are messy, sometimes difficult, and indeed uncomfortable. Today's gospel is a case in point. Jesus' words about throwing food to dogs land with us like fingernails down a blackboard. There's no way around the conclusion that what Jesus says is problematic at best. Jesus is calling both the woman and her people dogs. This would have been considered a cross-cultural insult during Jesus' time, and it is certainly an insult today. When people use animals to insult other people, they are working from the commonly held worldview where humans occupy the top of the moral pyramid and animals lurk at the bottom. And it's part of a pattern of seeing people who are unlike ourselves as beasts or monsters. And if a person is not truly human, logic dictates that they can be brutalised and exterminated like any other nuisance or threatening beast. So in the light of the rhetoric we hear and read from the President of the United States and others, we must be very clear that what Jesus said in first century Palestine is not acceptable to say to another human being. The Syrophoenician woman was not a dog. Her daughter was not a dog. Her people were not dogs. We must never animalise or otherwise denigrate another human being or a group of people deemed as other. So why does Jesus respond to this woman in this seemingly knee-jerk way? Matthew tells us that Jesus has withdrawn to the region of Tyre and Sidon, Gentile territory. He's outside the familiar territory of Galilee and Judea. He's outside the boundaries of Israel. And into this unfamiliar space comes this woman shouting at him, not greeting him politely, not approaching with decorum, but yelling, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." It's raw, it's desperate, it's loud. And Jesus does not know quite what to do. This is important. We often imagine Jesus as instantly knowing the right response in every situation. But the Gospels repeatedly show us moments where Jesus' humanity is not a veneer, but a reality. He is fully God, yes, but he is also fully human. He is shaped by his culture, his upbringing, his religious tradition. He responds as a good Jew of his time would respond. And sometimes, like us, he is confronted with something he does not immediately get. The disciples predictably want her gone. They want the boundaries to hold, and Jesus' initial reply seems to align with them. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This is genuinely what Jesus thought his mission was. And it's like for a moment we're inside Jesus' head, where he's trying to puzzle out his response to this annoying woman, where he's wrestling with what is being asked of him. Jesus is articulating the mission as he's understood it so far. Israel first. Israel's restoration. Israel's healing. Israel are the children. Gentiles are not. Jesus is speaking from the framework he has lived within. We all know this experience. When confronted with something unfamiliar or that challenges our assumptions, we might say things we do not quite mean. We reach for the categories we have. We respond from habit rather than insight. How often, if someone suggests a new way of doing something, we slightly scoff and say, "That'll never work." And then, when we've thought about it a bit more, realise that it might. And what's the harm if we try? And the woman doesn't let Jesus sit in his first response, his first negative impulse. She rescues him from it. She steps into the conversation with courage and theological clarity. "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs." She tells him God's mercy is too abundant to be contained within human boundaries. And in that moment, something shifts in Jesus. He recognises that she has seen something about God's generosity that he himself, in his humanity, had not yet fully articulated. This is not Jesus being corrected in a way that undermines his divinity. It is Jesus' humanity encountering a moment of revelation. His mind changes, not capriciously, not whimsically, but because he sees something true. His horizon expands. His understanding of the scope of his mission deepens. And Jesus' ministry takes a step outward, toward the Gentiles, toward the world, toward the universal embrace of God. The woman saves Jesus from staying in a narrow perception of his mission. She enlarges his viewpoint in a robust and glorious way. In this exchange, something new becomes possible. The woman's persistence becomes the doorway through which Jesus' mission expands. And this is not the only time in Scripture where a woman initiates a moment of transformation. Think of Mary, who prompts Jesus' first miracle at Cana. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well, whose conversation leads Jesus to reveal his identity as Messiah. Think of the women at the tomb, who became the first witnesses of the resurrection. There's been a fair amount of transformation in Ottery over the last 5 years, under the leadership of a woman. When I began my ministry 30 years ago, women were really new to the priestly table. And there was a real excitement that women would change the face of ministry, literally, pastorally, spiritually. And sadly, I think that excitement fizzled out quite quickly, as it became apparent that it was more a case of add women and stir. And it has been a long, hard road for women, which we are still walking. The number of women running large churches is pitifully small. The number of women with incumbent status in this diocese sits around the 20% mark. i.e. it's quite a lot rubbish. And I'm still wondering how women's presence and women's voices will change ministry into the future. What transformation will occur when women, I hope, take a greater place at the table of leadership, as diocesan bishops, suffragan bishops, as leaders of major parish churches and as incumbents? What boundaried viewpoints might be expanded? What new ways of seeing things will be revealed? When will the challenge women bring be allowed to be heard? If Jesus could allow himself to be changed by the somewhat sharp retort of a woman, why can't others? Some still don't accept that women can lead a church. Some don't accept that women's ordination is a valid thing. I hope that what you have experienced of a woman leading a major parish church will enable you to see ministry in a different way. That it's okay for vicars to mop the floors as well as preside at the Eucharist. That it's okay to cry when hymns catch us at a sensitive moment. That leadership is about holy laughter as well as holy silence. Jesus recognises truth spoken from an unexpected place, and Jesus allows his understanding to grow. He changes his mind, not because he was wrong, but because he was open. We may think we know the shape of God's work, but the Spirit is always pushing outward, always expanding and always revealing new horizons. And sometimes the voice that calls us into that expansion comes from outside our comfort zone. May we be willing to grow, to learn, to change. May we trust that God's mercy is always larger than our assumptions. And may we follow Jesus in the courageous work of letting our horizons expand. Amen.